Begin the current daf, Masechtas Avodah Zarah, daf Lamed Tes. Begin on the second line down at the top of the Yamad, where the Gemara continues the discussion from the previous dafim, discussing the previous halacha of the Mishnah, which is different items from a non-Jew that are forbidden to be consumed, but are permitted to have benefit from it. And one of them were the Taras Trufa. It's a certain type of fish that's cut up into small, tiny pieces, and therefore you can't tell if other pieces of non-kosher fish are mixed in. Vitzir she'im badaka, and also regarding the brine, if you don't have this kilbis fish swimming in there, that's not an, because if that fish would be swimming in there, that would be an indicator that it's kosher. Now you don't know if the brine is necessarily kosher. V'chulu and etc., which the next item is what the Gemara discusses. My chilok, what's the next halacha of the Mishnah that says that the chilok fish is forbidden to be consumed when it's bought from a non-Jew? So Amar Nachman bar Abba, Amar Rav, he says, Zu sultanas. It refers to the sultanas fish. And that's the Gemara of Mnei Masur, why is it forbidden if one buys it from a non-Jew when that's a kosher fish? Says the Gemara, Mnei She'ervayna Eile Imai, because since it's a small fish, many other non-kosher small types of fish gets mixed with it, so when you buy it from the non-Jew, you can't tell, and that's why it's going to be forbidden. Now, related to this, the Gemara says, turn about and learn the Braisa. Ein Loi Achshav, if the fish doesn't have its signs of scales and fins right now, but v'asad legad l'achazman, but it will, when it gets older, grow these signs. Kagain ha-sultanis va'af. It's this fish that we're discussing, the schilik, which is the sultanis. Right now, it doesn't have the scales and fins when it's small. But when it gets older, it will have sahariz and mutter. So that's why I said, essentially, this fish is kosher. It's just that it gets mixed. When we buy from the non-Jew, you can't tell, because you have all these other small fish mixed with it. And although it's a bunch of sultanis fish, it might have these other non-kosher ones in it. That's why it's forbidden. But essentially, it itself, although it doesn't have scales and fins yet, it is kosher. So to the opposite way. Yeshli Achshav, if the fish has scales and fins right now, v'asid lahashir b'shosh olam in the yam, but when it's actually taken out from the sea, as there are certain types of fish like that, it ends up shaking off its scales and the fins, and therefore one cannot see those scales when they take them out of the water. Kugayin akunas v'afunas, katsiftiyas, v'achsiftiyas, v'utnas, which these are all different Persian types of names of these types of fish, mutter, so although when you take it out, you don't see the scales, but in the water they have, so although they end up shaking it off, they're going to be permitted. Related to these halachas of the kosher fish and its signs, the Gemara brings the Achers Rebavo B'Kisari. Bavo announced in Kisari, Kirve Dagen, the intestines of the fish, meaning the fish fats, Vubaran, which literally means to say, and their fetuses, meaning the eggs of the fish, Nikachin Mikal Adam, can be bought from anybody. Why? Cheskasin einam boim elam meplusa v'aspamya. The assumption is, the presumption is that they only come from these two places of pelusa and aspamya, and there's no non-kosher fish that are found over there. So therefore, when you're buying it, although you can't tell when you just buy the fats or you buy the eggs which fish it's from, you could assume that it's from a kosher fish. Meaning that was where Bavo was in Kesari, where that's where they would get it from these two places, and those two places didn't have any non-kosher fish. Says the Gemara, ki hadam abaya, like this that Abaya said. Hai tzachanasa, this chilik fish that we're discussing about, the Bav Nahara, if gets it from the river Bav, Sharia, then it's permitted. My time, what's the reason? Didn't we say you have to be concerned regarding this fish that maybe it has non-kosher fish mixed with it? Says the Gemara, that obviously because we're assuming that there's no non-kosher fish in that river. But that's what the Gemara says, my time, what's the reason? If it's because the water flows very strong, and any non-kosher fish, since it doesn't have the spine, where the water runs very fast, it wouldn't be able to maintain itself in that body of water. And therefore, since this river flows fast, therefore any fish that's there must be an animal, a fish that's kosher. That's why we know that this chiltis is not problematic. I'm not asking about, but v'kachasina dekai. But we do see non-kosher fish that do last even when there's fast waters that flow. So Ella, what are you going to say the reason? Mishum demelichi mai, because the water of this river Bav is very salty. V'hagdag tame, and these non-kosher fish keep the lesli kalfi since it doesn't have scales. But duchte demelichi mai lematzekai, the scales help clean out the water for the fish. Since these non-kosher fish do not have scales, in very salty water it cannot be maintained. And that's how we know that there's no non-kosher fish over there. And that is saying about in the kai. But we do see that non-kosher fish do last and are maintained in salty water. And the rest, Ella rather says the Gemara, Pshum delay mirabatina dag tame. Rather, the reason is because the ground of that river Bav doesn't grow, doesn't maintain non-kosher fish. So not because the water runs fast or because it's salty. It's just that area, that ecological environment does not maintain non-kosher fish. And therefore, he said that although generally there's a concern with this sachanasa, with this this chilik fish, that maybe it has non-kosher fish mixed over there from this river, there is no such concern. Now, however, Amar Ravina, he says, ha'idna, the koshavchi bein har guza bein har gamda, but these days, when the river Guza and Gamda flow into this Bav river, then Asiri, then the chilik is forbidden because those waters do have non-kosher fish, and maybe they got mixed into these fish of this chilik. Continues the Gemara Amabai. It says, Hai chamor de yama ashari. The donkey of the sea, which is a type of aquatic creature, and like a donkey, it's shari, it's permitted. Tur de yama asr. The ox of the sea, which is a type of an aquatic creature in the form of an ox, is asr, is forbidden. Because as the Gemara says, Mesech Tzchulnaf, Kof HaZayin, Amad Aleph, any creature that's in dry land is in the sea and has its parallel, except for the weasel. But everything else does have. So there's going to be like a donkey in the sea. It's going to be like an ox in the sea. Now, the simonich and the mnemonic to remember which one of these is kosher and which one's not is that tamei, the creature that's non-kosher on dry land, which is the donkey, is tar, is actually kosher if it's from the sea. And tar, tamei, the ox, which is kosher on land, is actually non-kosher in its aquatic form. Continues the Gemara of Ash. It says, shvar nuna shari, this creature, shvar nuna, is permitted. Kadash nuna, which these are both types of fish in the sea. So the Kadash Nuna version is Aser is forbidden. B'samanech, and the mnemonic to recall which one is which, is a pasuk in Shemais that says, Kodesh L'Hashem, the one that's holy is for Hashem, which generally is something that's holy is forbidden for a regular person. So the Kadash Nuna version is forbidden, but the aquatic creature Shefar Nuna is permitted. Igadame, those say that it wasn't Kadash Nuna, but rather Kevar Nuna Aser. This aquatic creature is called Kavar Nuna, which is forbidden. For Samanich, and the mnemonic to remember, that's the one that's forbidden, is Kivri Ovdei Kichavim, is the graves of non-Jews, which is something that's problematic, that's forbidden. That's the types of fish creature, Kavar Nuna, that's forbidden. Now, the Gemara brings different stories regarding this halacha, that the kosher fish have to have scales, but as we said before, even if they come off when you take them out of the water, but since we know it had it when it was on, or even if you can't see, but if we know it had, then it's going to be permitted. So the Gemara brings Rabbi Kiva Iklo LeGinzik. He went to this place, Ginzik. Aisu LeKameh Hahu Nuna to have a Dama LeChifusha. They brought him a certain fish that was similar to this non-kosher fish called Chifusha. So what he did was to ascertain if it's kosher or not. Chafiyeh Bitikuli, covered it with a basket, and he shook it around inside the basket. So if it had scales, it came off when he shook it. Chazabe Kilfi. So he saw on the walls these small little scales, Bisharin, they permitted because although you couldn't tell if they're scales, but he saw now on the walls these small little scales, obviously it has on it. So to Rav Ashi Iklo Latamdurya, he went to this place, Tamdurya. They brought him a certain fish that was similar to an eel, which is not kosher. Nakte lahad yema, so what he was is he put it opposite the sun. Chazad hava beit simcha, he saw, because the sun you shines on it, similar to like the eel, you could almost see through it, that it had these small little scales, b'shari, and they permitted it. So to Rav Ashi Iklahu Asri, went to this place, and Aishul Kamei Nuna Dabu Domei L'Shaf Nuna. They brought him this fish that was similar to the Shaf Nuna. Chafi b'meshich le'chivri. So what he did is that he covered it with a white basket. Now, the reason is because since it's white, so you could see the scales that are black. You can see the contrast on the white basket. Chazab Kalfi saw on it these the scales and Vishari and permitted. So to Rabbi Babachan Ikl Akr the Agma, he went to Akr the Agma. Krivulay Tzachanasa. They brought him this Tzachanasa fish. Shamelahu Gabe, so he heard a certain person that was calling that species, which was called Tzachanasa, to have a curly bati. He was calling it bati, which is the name of a non-kosher fish. So he said, from the fact that this person is calling it bati, it must be something non-kosher about this. Because although maybe this is kosher, but it must be something not, because someone's calling it a non-kosher name. So he didn't eat from it. In the morning they analyzed it. And they found something non-kosher about it. So he cited on himself the pasuk in Mishlei, no sin, nothing bad, no stumbling block happens to a righteous person, and that he was saved from eating something non-kosher. Mishnah continued regarding items that are forbidden to be consumed from a non-Jew is vakayrit shel chilsis, a grain of this chilsis plant. Says the Gemara, my time, what's the reason? Shem demafsi kelib sekinah, because they cut it, this sharp plant, with a knife. Now, Avagav Dama Maran Leisin Tam Levkam Muto, although the master had said, as we mentioned this in the previous daf, when something gives a deficient taste, because this knife was only used yesterday, and when it gives a bad taste into what you're cutting a Jewish item, that kosher thing is permitted, but here it's different. Why? Agav Churfei Dechelsisa, because of the sharpness of this Chilsa's plant, Mechal Yilei Shamanunisa, it revives, it sharpens, it sweetens up that fatty part of the non-kosher knife. The non-kosher knife has some of these old fatty absorptions that it emits. And although generally that fatty taste from the knife is lufgam, but here it revitalizes it, it makes it sweet again because the sharpness adds some energy to that. And therefore it's like it's giving a good taste into this chiltas plant that you're cutting, and therefore it's going to be forbidden because now you have non-kosher emissions in this plant. The Gemara says that Abdi Reb Levi have kamazvin chilsisa. The servant of Reb Levi would sell this chiltas. Now chiltas is kosher. The only problem is from a non-Jew is problematic because maybe he used something that was not kosher knife, and that although tam lefgam is not a problem, again as we said, it becomes like tam leshvach. Now kinach nafshi Reb Levi, when Reb Levi himself passed away, also coming to Reb Yechanan, they came from Reb Yechanan, and Amalei they said to him, ma'olam isim, and they could we buy from him? We said chiltas could be problematic because if you use a knife that's not kosher, even though it's usually not a problem, with this chiltas plant it could be. So Amalu said to them, Abdu shel chava harei kuchaver. Although Reb Levi is not around anymore, but the servant of a Tamaruk scholar is like the Tamaruk scholar himself. He maintains those standards, and therefore you could buy from him. Similarly, the Gemara says, Rav Huna bar Menyumi, Zavin de chil tamanchi the basis of Avraham Chasidah. He bought tcheles, a certain type of blue wool that they used for the one of the tzitzis on their garments. He bought it from the household of Rav Amma the pious, meaning from his wife. And the concern with tcheles many times is because the people that are dishonest, they would sell kala ilan, which is a color from a tree that looks very similar to tcheles, which actually comes from an aquatic creature. So you have to be very careful. So also coming to Rav Yosef, he came from Rav Yosef to ask him, is it okay that he bought this from this woman? Are they trusted? Lahav biyati, he didn't have the answer. Pogabei Chan Chayati encountered Chanan the tailor. Amalei said to him, Yosef, that you went to ask Rav Yosef, Anya, he's a pauper. Menole, where would he know this answer from? But did he have over there? Such an incident happened with me, and I have the answer for you. Because the Zvini Tchelta, I had bought Chelis me Anshi de Beise from the household members, from the wife, the Rabbanah, from Rabbanah, who is Achud, Rabbi Chibar Abba, who is the brother of Rabbi Chibar Abba. Vasoy Lekameid, the Rav Masna, I came after the Rav Masna to ask him the question, and Lohav Biyadah, he didn't have the answer. I came in from the Yehud Magrunya. Amali said to me, nafalt liyad, you fell into my hand. In other words, now you need me to tell you this answer. This is what Shmuel said. The wife of a Talmud Chacham has the same halacha like Talmud Chacham, and just like a Talmud Chacham has believed, she's also, and it's good, you could assume that this is kosher tcheles from the chilazim. As the Gemara says, the Talmud Malik learned the Braisa. The wife of a Talmud Chacham is like a Talmud Chacham. Avdi shel chava harei kechava, the servant of a chaver is like a Talmud Chacham. Moreover, chaver shemeis, a Talmud Chacham who passes away, ishtai ubanov ubnei beisa, his wife, his sons, his family, harein becheskasin, they maintain the presumptive status of halacha, ad sheyechshdu, until they're suspect. So to the chen chatzar shemeichem betcheles, a courtyard which is where they sell tcheles, harein becheskasin, which the gears is, or harehi becheskas, that courtyard maintains its presumptive state of kashrus actually pasul until it becomes invalidated. Related discussion: the Gemara says, "Tam b'ain luna brisa, ishes ama orech, and this is lachaver, the wife of an ignoramus who marries a talmud chacham, which is in our second marriage, or v'chein bita shel ama orech, or the daughter of an ama orech, and this is lachaver who marries a talmud chacham, or v'chein avdu shel ama orech, or the slave of an ignoramus, shenimka lachaver, who gets sold to talmud chacham." They all have to accept upon themselves the new standards when they start that relationship, whether as a slave or as a wife or as coming from the daughter of an Amoritz or previous wife of an Amoritz, before they're trusted with all the different standards of the new house, the head of the household who's a chaver, that let's say that things should be eaten in a state of purity and that they should tithe the produce and all those similar halachas, they have to initially accept those standards when they come into that household. Aval bad, Eishes chaver shenislam aretz, the wife of a talmud chacham who married an am aretz, b'chein bita shel chaver shenislam aretz, or the daughter of a talmud chacham who married am aretz, b'chein avdi shel chaver shenimklam aretz, or the servant of a chaver who got sold to am aretz, then and they come back to the chaver, ein etzrichal lekabel dibri chaveris lekechil, they don't have to accept initially when they come to the new household the standards of a chaver initially, because they grew up with that, and therefore they're assumed to, they're presumed to have to be able to keep those standards. That's the Bri Meir. Rabbi Yehuda, he disagrees. He says, no, afhein tzuichan lekabel divrei chabeis l'kitchila. They also, when they come back to the Talmid Chacham's household, have to accept initially the standards of chaveris, because up until now, when they were by the Amoritz, they weren't keeping those standards. The Chein Har B'Shim Elazami, he said that Ma'isa bi Isha Achas Shenisses L'Chaber. There actually was such an incident where a woman married a Talmid Chacham. So when she was in that household, she had those standards. But he said, Kasheris Lik Tfilin Al Yodi. She was such a good wife, she would tie on the tefillin onto his hands. But Nisses L'Moiches, when she got married after that to a tax collector, who generally we could assume they're robbers, they're dishonest. But he said, Kasheris Lik Kishri Moiches Al Yodi. And then she was tying on the receipts that are needed to be given to people that pay the taxes so that they shouldn't be collected from another time, she would tie that on his hand. In other words, the good wife does what her husband wants. And although she, when she's in the, as an Eishes Chaver, she's doing what he needs as the standard of a Chaver, but she's going to do the same thing for her new husband, who's a dishonest one, and she's going to be helping him along. So when she comes back to the Chaver, she has to re-accept those standards, even though she was initially there. Amar Rav. Rav says, Chavis, which is mnemonic, although the word means barrel, it's mnemonic for milk, meat, wine, and tcheles. Asa b'chesem echad, that's forbidden to transport through a non-Jew with just one seal. With champag, muta b'chesem echad, that's permitted with one seal. As Zigmar explains, chalav, milk, basar, meat, yayin, wine, tcheles, and this blue wool called, this dye called tcheles, as the gittin tamid beis. Asurin b'chesem echad, they're all prohibited to send through in the hand of a non-Jew, if it just has one seal. Because since meat and tchelis are very expensive, so the non-Jew will go through the effort to forge that seal and to switch with the non-kosher version, or the wine he would like because he used it to use as a libation for his avodah zarah. In contrast with the milk, actually the Gemara is going to ask, why is that not enough with one seal? That's not so expensive, it's not so precious, what would he do with the milk already? But that's what the Gemara is saying, that those four items are forbidden with one seal. In contrast, champag, which stands for chiltis, which we mentioned this item before, which is a sharp plant, where to go ahead and swap it is a very small amount of benefit, and he's not going to go through the effort to forge if it has even just one seal, so therefore one seal here would be enough. So to murias, which is this type of the fish fats and oils, and pas and bread and gvina and cheese, so that's not, you know, if it's left open, we have to be concerned. But if it has one seal, then mutar mechais mecha, it's permitted to send it with a non-Jew with one seal. As the Gemara explains, and actually Rashi says not to have these lines of the Gemara over here. He says rather it's actually part of the statement of Shmuel, who actually asks on Rav's version, why would you have to mention that of bread? Which Taisa says that shouldn't be enough of a reason to take it out over here, because Rashi's concerned, why would we pick out bread more than all the different items that are being mentioned? But the way it's translated according to the way our Gemara has it is an explanation of why is it enough with bread to have with one seal. The way Rashi's Gira says has it later, it's actually a question. Why would we even have to tell you that it's going to be permitted with one seal? Why would be the problem? So the Gemara explains, Pas l'may nechashla. What's the concern with bread that we would have to tell you this idea that, again, according to Rashi's version, it's a question, which ends up being a question. That's why Shmuel actually doesn't say bread at the end as even part of the mnemonic to say it's permitted with one seal. That to say champag, if it's because we're concerned that maybe that non-Jew is going to swap the kosher bread for non-kosher bread, what's the concern? Kriir b'chamim, maybe the idea. If he's switching because he wants the warm bread from the Jew and he has only cold bread, well, it's obvious when we're going to find out that it's cold. We know that what was being delivered was warm bread, so he can't switch that. The chibit with the sa'arif, let's say he has barley bread and the Jew is sending wheat bread, you know, they're sending from this bakery to the Jew's home, we'll be there in 5 minutes. And he's getting wheat bread and he's going to switch barley bread. Nami made the idea. It's also going to be obvious. He can't switch that. And ike adadi, and if he's switching the same exact thing, maybe he has the same exact thing by him, well, that's obvious. Kiven nekechaisem echad, since it has one seal, like tarachem ezayif, he's not going to go through the effort for something that he doesn't really have that much gain. So again, according to Rashi's version, that's Shmuel's question. Why would we even have to tell you? According to our text version, it's Rav's explanation of why bread is enough with one seal. And that's just like all those things, like Chiltis, Murius, and Givina, where if it's no seal, then we have to be concerned. But one seal, what would he gain? There wouldn't be anything that really to be concerned about to require two seals. Now the Gemara asks, but V'Rav, Maishna, Givina, Dulei, Tarchim, Ezayef, why is it regarding cheese, did he say? As long as you have one seal, it's okay, because the non-Jew is not going to go through the effort to go out and forge just for cheese. There's no great shakes. The Jewish cheese is not so much better or more expensive than the non-Jewish cheese. Chalav nami l'tarchem hazav. So then milk should be the same thing. He's not going to go through the effort and forge. Where, why by milk did he say that's from things that require two seals? So Rav Kahn, he says, you're right. Milk and cheese is the same thing. Abik chalav, you have to take out when it had the ches of chavis from the mnemonic of Rav that needs two seals. It doesn't mean milk. Vayil chatiches dog shein basim. The ches refers to a piece of fish which does not have an identifying feature if it's kosher or not. It was regarding that that Rav was saying that that's something that's very expensive, a piece of fish, and that the non-Jew would go through the effort to forge, and therefore it needs two signs. So the Gemara is behind the baser. One of the signs of the word chavis of that mnemonic had meat. Fish is the same thing as meat. So why would we have to say another case of fish? So the Gemara trekav nimbas is two types of meat. There's meat of an animal and meat of a fish. And those are things that both need two signs, two seals of to make sure that the non-Jew is not going to swap it. Now, Shmuel says, as Rashi explained, Shmuel's not disagreeing with Rav. Rather, he just holds that you don't have to give a mnemonic to even teach you regarding the piece of fish that's prohibited, because as we said, that's the same thing as basar. Moreover, as the Gemara explains, especially according to Rashi's version, where the Gemara's previous discussion of pasla ma'nechesh law is actually now in the statement of Shmuel, we don't have to tell you that bread is going to be permitted. So it doesn't have to be part of the mnemonic that one sign is enough, because of course. Shmuel says, bias aser, bias is mnemonic for three things. Those are aser b'chayis mecha. They're forbidden where he's taking out the ches of chavis. Bias is forbidden with one seal. Machag, and again he's taking out the pay over here of pas, machag mutu b'chayis mecha, that's permitted with one seal. What are these things? Basar, yayin, tcheles, meat, wine, and tcheles, asur b'chayis mecha, they're forbidden with one sign. Again, as we said, because the meat and tcheles is expensive. Wine, they use for yayin nesach. So there we have to be concerned you need two seals. Murius chiltis agvina, this fish oil and this chiltis, the sharp plant and cheese, then mutar b'chayis mecha, they're permitted with one seal. As the Gemara explains, the Shmuel, according to Shmuel, chatiches dag she'im basimen hayin al-basa. We don't have to tell you that the piece of fish that has no sign that it's kosher, so it could be swapped by the non-Jew, that needs two seals, because that's the same thing as meat. And since we already told you meat needs two, so fish is included. And tre gavne basa, we don't have to tell you two types of meat. We told you meat, of course that includes fish, and again, as we said regarding the bread, that was also not necessary to tell us, because of course, what's the concern? We know that one seal would be enough, and that's why that was also not necessary for Shmuel to say that that's enough with one seal. Tarabon, learn the Braisa, continuing on these halachas. Ein leichin yemach machag, which is mnemonic for six items, you cannot buy besurya. You cannot buy from the storekeepers in Surya, because they are suspect, because they're not particular regarding the Isser as of lifne evil sit in michshel, not to place a stumbling block from consumers who are buying from them. So they sell to Jewish people things that they bought from the non-Jews. So, and these things, as we mentioned before, these have problems in halacha when they're coming from non-Jews. Now, the thing is that, but these storekeepers themselves, they're proud Jews, they don't eat things that are forbidden. They just don't care if they're going to sell to another Jew. So therefore, if someone is a guest of these storekeepers, then you're allowed to eat with them these items. So, but you can't buy it from them, because they're not concerned that they're making a stumbling block for another Jew. So therefore, what are these items? Lo yayin, not wine, because again, from a non-Jew, if he bought it from them, it's problematic. V'lo murius, and not dismurius, like we said. V'lo chalav, and not milk. V'lo melech, sandukuris, not this sandukuris salt, which we'll explain later on, which is problematic, as we mentioned in our Mishnah, that one to buy it from the non-Jews would be problematic. For the chiltis, not this chiltis, again, if this came from a non-Jew, we said that they might use non-kosher knife and then stick in that taste into that chiltis because it's sharp and reawakens it. For like vina and not cheese. Ella rather says, the b'raisa min ha-mumcha. But if it's from a professional, someone that's concerned for his reputation or someone that's careful with these types of things, then you could buy these items from that storekeeper. Now, Bukulan, however, all these items, in this arach etzel balabais, if one is a guest from the host, even if he's a storekeeper in Surya, then mutter then is permitted, as we said, because they themselves do not eat non-kosher. It's just that in this store, they're not concerned about selling it to others. Which the Gemara says, Mesayel, Rabbi Shimon ben Levi, that supports Rabbi Shimon ben Levi. Rabbi Shimon ben Levi, he said, Shigulei balabais lebeisai. If the homeowner sends as a gift these items to someone else's house, mutter, then it's permitted for that person to partake of it. My time, what's the reason? Because balabayis, leishavik heter v'achli sura, a homeowner himself will not leave a kosher item to eat something non-kosher. He's a proud Jew. When he sends a gift to someone else, he doesn't send from his store. From what he's eating, he sends a gift, and therefore you can know that it's kosher because it's from his home and not from the store when he's selling, where there they are suspect. So as we mentioned before, and this is an item in our Mishnah, this is problematic to consume if one bought this from a non-Jew. Says the Gemara, my melech sal nekayris. I'm Rabbi Huda Mishmul. It's melech. It's sold. Shakol sal kandoiri raimi. Where the word sal nekayri means the bakers, that all the bakers of Rome, oichel naisai, they eat it. Now, what's wrong with this sold? Because they mix in the intestines of non-kosher fish into that sold. They make these big blocks out of it. Since it has non-kosher fish inside of it, so therefore this sold is cannot be consumed when buying from a non-Jew. Tanabon win the braisa. Melech sal nekayris shechayra asura. The black sandakaris salt is forbidden. Lavana muteris, but the white one is permitted. Divrei Meir. Yehudai Meir says, no, the other way around. Lavana asura, shechay muteris. The white one is forbidden, the black one is permitted. Yehudai ben Gamliel, Mishra ben Chanina ben Gamliel, he says, no, zuvizu asura, both the white version of that salt and the black one is forbidden. So Amar Rabbi B'chana, Amar B'chana, he explains. L'divrei ha'im levana asura, according to one who says that the white type of this salt is forbidden, it's because kivri dogim levanim temei mu ravimba, because they mix in the intestines of white non-kosher fish inside of it. So therefore, that's the one that's forbidden. According to the one who says that the black type of this salt is forbidden, because he holds that they would mix in the intestines of black fish. So it's the black type of salt that which is problematic. According to one that says that both types are forbidden, is because he holds that they would mix in the intestines of both black and white fish, so therefore both their black and white salt are forbidden because of those non-kosher intestines that are mixed in. Similarly, Omer Bavo, Mishrim Reb Chanim Gamlil, he says, Zokin Echad Hoyi B'Shchun Nesein, there was an elderly non-Jew who was in our neighborhood, Shoyimachlik Panel B'Shum El Chazah, he would slap on the surface of the salt, the fat of lard, of a swine, and again, we see that that's why it's concerning to buy the salt from them, because they would put non-kosher items, where before we mentioned the intestines of non-kosher fish, and he would put the fat of chazer on top of the salt, and therefore it's problematic to buy the salt from the non-Jews. Now, the Mishnah concluded by saying, Hare Elo Asurim, these items that we mentioned in the Mishnah are all forbidden to be consumed, but they're not problematic to have benefit from them. In contrast to a previous Mishnah, it said there are certain items of non-Jews that are even forbidden to have benefit from them. So the Gemara is Lamuti Ma, what's that coming to exclude when saying, these things are forbidden by achilo, but permitted by anoa? What do we gain when repeating it at the end? What's it coming to exclude? That these are only asa b'achila. So l'chizke, according to chizke, we mentioned in the previous daf, l'me'ute b'yadua. It's coming to exclude regarding the things that we said that are preserved, things that are preserved, where we said that things which it's normal to put wine and vinegar into them. So that's what the halacha of the Mishnah was saying, said chizke, that it's only forbidden to eat but permitted b'hanah. But Chizki added, but if it's known that wine was put in over there, which is Yain Nesach, and he said it's going to be Asa even Bahanah, that's what's being excluded. That item is not going to be only Asa Bahil, it's going to be Asa even Bahanah. Now, Rabbi Yechon, but according to Rabbi Yechon, who he disagreed over there, and he said that even if you know the wine was put in, still the item is going to be, the preserve is only going to be Asa Bahil and not Bahanah. So what's our Mishnah coming to exclude that's Asa even Bahanah? Is Lemute Murius coming to exclude the fish oils? The Gvinas Beisur Nike and the cheese of Beisur Nike, where the places of idol worship, where those things are going to be us, even Bahana, because the stomach Remeir, because that would mean that our Stam Mishnah would be like Remeir, who we mentioned in Chavtesma Beis, who said that these items are not only us Bachila, but even us, Bahana, not like the Rabban who disagree with him. And that's what our Mishnah would be. It would be the Remeir who would be saying this, who he'd be excluding those items there, because those items are going to be us, even Bahana. Continues the next Mishnah. Continue on the theme. First we said things that are forbidden achila and ana. Then we said things are asa b'achila but permitted b'ana. Says this Mishnah, the elam utar b'achila, and these things are even permitted to consume when they're bought from a non-Jew. Says the Mishnah, chalav shechal ba'ev k'chav misol re'eo. Milk that was milked by a non-Jew, and a Jew was overseeing that process of the milking. V'hadvash, and honey. V'adav devanias, and clusters of grapes. Ava pishem enatfen, even if they're dripping, ein behem mishum hechsher mashke, there's not even a problem about that they're already susceptible to tumah, because when they're in contact with a liquid, it makes it susceptible. Here, these grapes are not going to be susceptible to tumah, even though the juice is dripping out from those grapes. Continues the Mishnah, v'kvashin she'ein darken losses l'teichin yayin v'chaymes, in contrast to the previous Mishnah, if there are preserves, which is not normative for them to preserve it by putting in wine or vinegar, so there's no concern of anything non-kosher in there, so one could even eat that item when it's bought from a non-Jew. And the Tarish ain't the truth of this Tarish fish when it's not chopped up into small different fishes, where you could recognize the pieces of fish, which one's the kosher and which one's not, in contrast to previous Mishnah. And the Tzir Sheyesh Badoga, the fish brine, which has the kilbas fish swimming in it, where they only swim and grow in kosher brine, so you know it's kosher. And the Ola Shel Chiltis, again, these many items are in contrast to the previous Mishnah. Here we're talking about the leaf of the Chiltis plant, where there, that's not cut with a knife. The whole previous Mishnah was Chiltis cut with a knife. Here the leaf is not cut with a knife, so you don't have the concern about the fatty Isser in the knife, which gets revitalized with the sharp taste. And the Zesi Glus Koyes Hamgulgolim. There are olives that are gathered into a round vessel, and they just sit there, and they heat up, and they get pressed together like a cake by themselves. So that item is permitted to be bought and consumed from a non-Jewish. Gemara is going to ask, obviously, what's the concern? What should be problematic with these olives that are just put there? There's nothing more that's added, and they just turn into cakes of olives, and olives are kosher. Now, Rabbi Yisim, he actually, on this case of olives, the Gemara on the next daf is going to explain his halacha. He says, Hashlacha nasurin. If it's olives that have the pitzer that are ready to come out, then that's actually forbidden. Continues the Mishnah, Hagavim haboim and aslula, regarding grasshoppers. If they're coming from the baskets that are being sold in front of the storekeepers, then asurin, those grasshoppers are forbidden. As the Gemara is going to explain, because they would pour wine on those grasshoppers in front of the baskets that are in front of their store, and that's a problem because of the Ayin Nesach. But minaheftik, from those grasshoppers that are bought from the place where they're kept in the storehouses when they're in their salted state, not in front of the store, those are matar and those are permitted, because those grasshoppers, they don't pour wine on them because that would make it ruined. They only do it right before they're about to sell it in front. Since you're buying it straight from the storehouse, that's permitted. Bechim the truma, this halacha applies, as I'm going to explain what this means, similarly in the halacha context of truma. Says the Gemara, Tanin Allah the Turn Rabban. The halacha of our Mishnah, the first halacha that milk that was milked by a non-Jew, as long as the Jew is the mashkiach overlooking, is permitted, supports this that we learn in the Braisa. Yeshev Yisrael b'tzad edir shel evi kachav. A Jew could sit at the side of a flock of a non-Jew, and even if he's not watching, v'evi kachav m'chaylev lay, and the non-Jew could milk kosher from a kosher animal milk, maybe levein achayshish, and he could bring him the milk, and the Jew doesn't have to be concerned; he could drink that milk. So I asked the Gemara, what's the case talking about? Either like a dvar tameh be'edri, if there's no non-kosher animal in his flock, so pshita, obviously, what's the concern? There's only kosher animals here. V'idik a dvar tameh be'edri, and if there is a non-kosher animal there in the flock, samai, why is it permitted? Maybe he milked a non-kosher animal and gave it to the Jew to drink. Says the Gemara, lo'ilim dik a dvar tameh. Maybe there is a non-kosher animal over there. But v'chikoi chazile, when the Jew's standing, he sees which animal he's milking. V'chiyasav lo'i chazile, when he's sitting, he can't see exactly what the non-Jew is doing. What would you say that since when the Jew is sitting, he doesn't see him? Maybe he's going to bring him the milk from a cow, but he's going to mix in some of that swine milk inside over there, and he's going to mix it in. That's what the halacha is teaching us in the Braisa. Since if the Jew would stand, he would see him. So the non-Jew is afraid, and he's not going to mix in. He has that halacha called mirtas, where someone might just walk in at any time, and they'd be busted. He wouldn't do that, and therefore it's going to be permitted to drink that milk. Next item in the Mishnah was vadvash. It's permitted to buy honey from a non-Jew and consume it. As the Gemara explains, dvash, regarding honey, l'may nechesh, what would be the halachic concern of kashrus buying it from a non-Jew? If, of course, we're concerned that maybe the non-Jew might mix in some wine, it spoils the honey, he wouldn't do that. If it's because it's cooked, the honey is processed and it's cooked by a non-Jew and bishul akum is forbidden, but nechel kamei shuchai, honey is eaten in the raw state. We said anything that's eaten in the raw state does not become bishul akum. And if the problem is because, no, when they cook it, it's been cooked in pots and pans and processing machines that have non-kosher taste in it, and if it's problematic, but as we said, generally the pots are from the previous day, which gives in a not good taste, and that we said is permitted. That does not make the thing that you're cooking forbidden by law, and therefore there's no problem buying honey from the non-Jew and eating it. So to the Mishnah continue about Dav Devanias and these clusters of grapes, Ava Bisham and Natvas, even if it's dripping grape juice out of it, Emehem Mishum Heksha Mashke, it's not even making the grapes susceptible to Tuma because of the liquid of the grape juice that's on the grapes itself. On this halacha, the Gemara asked. For many, the Gemara asked a contradiction with the following brisa. Habaitu Lagas, if someone is picking grapes to press them in the wine press to make wine out of them, Shame says that since there's grape juice that's spilling out of the grapes, the grapes now, regarding the halachas of tumah, become susceptible from the juice that's dripping out of it when you're picking off the grapes. You get squeezed a little bit, since the whole utility of these grapes are to make grape juice, to make wine out of them. So he obviously prefers the liquid that's coming out, because that's why he's doing it. So therefore, it will become susceptible to tumah that way. Hill says, no, it does not become susceptible. But says the Gemara, Hill ultimately retracted and agreed to Shammai. So you see that the grapes that have juice dripping out will be maksha the grapes. So how can we say that it's not? Says the Gemara, there, in that braisa, yeah, the reason why he's picking the grapes, as we said, is because he wants the beverage. It's being picked to press them. Over here in our Mishnah, these clusters of grapes themselves, they're being used for eating. He doesn't need it for the liquid, and therefore it's not considered significant. He doesn't want it, and therefore it will not make the cluster of grapes susceptible to tum. The Mishnah continues, says, the tarish ain't a trufa. Regarding this tarish fish, if it's not chopped up into small little pieces. And then the Mishnah continued, and regarding the brine that has this kilbas fish swimming in it. So, Tarnbon, then the brisa, regarding these two halachas. Ezehi tarish in the trufa. What's this tarish fish that's not chopped up? What does that mean? It means kol shereish v'shedra nikra. If you could recognize the head and the spine of that fish, of every single fish that's in there, so although they're small, but the fish now are recognizable by their head, whether it's kosher or not, because the non-kosher ones, their heads are very pointy, and they also don't have a spinal cord. So from the fact that they're still big enough, they weren't cut up so small, then you could tell what's what, and therefore it's going to be okay to buy from the non-Jew and eat it. Ve'ezu tzir sheish b'dogon, what's a brine that has a fish swimming in it? Kol shekilbas achas, as long as there's one kilbas fish, which they only grow in the brine of a kosher fish. Now, if it was any brine from a non-kosher fish, the kilbas fish would not grow over there. So if it has at least one kilbas fish, or shtei kilbiyos, or it has two kilbiyos, as it contains up a memenaf, that shaked this boy that's swimming over there, so then we know that it's kosher brine. Now the Gemara asks, hashta kilbas achas amichari, if one kilbas fish, he said, is okay, shtei kilbiyos mibay, what if they tell you that if two kilbiyos, it's okay? So it's more like kasha, it's no difficulty, depends on the context. Kan bepsuches. When it's an open barrel, then it's not enough with one kilbas, because you could say that maybe that kilbas just happened to fall in, but it didn't grow from there. Kambas tumas, when it's a closed barrel, it obviously didn't come from anywhere, and you see a kilbas fish swimming inside, then it's enough even with one, then you know it's obviously grew from there, and it could only grow from there if it's kosher brine, and that's why, in that case, one could go ahead and even consume that brine bought from the non-Jew. If it has that kilbas, although that fish itself is not kosher, but it shows that the brine is kosher, and that's why it could be consumed.